Okay, so I'm really excited to introduce our next guest. Dr. Alexis Pauling Gumbs has been on the show at least twice before, maybe even three times at this point. I'm glad to also introduce Alma Levon. They are working on a summer retreat event. It's put on by the Eternal Summer of the Black Feminist Mind and the Revelry, and it's called Dark Science. Dark Science or Dark Sciences?
Dark Sciences.
Okay, Dark Sciences, a People of Color Dream Retreat. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I can do phone interviews so you can both. We're actually using three-way out there, people, so we're doing all kinds of looping and technology here to have them both on, and I'm very glad to have you on. So let's start with what led to you putting together a dream retreat?
Well, so Alma and I actually met each other in person for the first time at a retreat called Indigo Days that was here in Durham, North Carolina. And Alma did this great workshop on divination, like using books, I think it was poetry books, as a divination practice. And so some years later, you know, we continued to collaborate and just love each other and be great friends. And we started to have this conversation about what would it be like to have a whole retreat about divination. And as we started to talk about it and plan it and have conversations with each other about what would that look like, we just kept talking about our dreams at a really central practice for both of us. And the more we talked about it, we were like, oh, that's what the retreat is about. We should do a retreat about dreams and what are different ways that people activate and engage with their dream lives, and what are ways to support the ongoing work of learning from our dreams. So yeah, that's how the idea first sparked.
Yeah, I was really excited to see that a dream retreat was being put on, because definitely dreams are such a connection to our futures, our past, our ancestors. So speaking of ancestors, who are some of the ancestors that you're going to be bringing into that dream space? I saw on the website there were a list of, you know, wonderful beings that had inhabited the planet at some point.
That's a great question. I know one corner of that for me is ancestors that I don't even know their name. Ancestors that allow me to be possible. Definitely Joseph Beam and Isaac Pinto and various POC warriors definitely will be in the space. Radical dreamers like Harriet Tubman, whose dream practice was liberation practice. And yes, their names are legion.
Yeah, I also want to say Nanny of the Maroons really steps up, and so that's part of why the retreat is called Dark Sciences, because we're thinking about science in the ways that the Maroons of Jamaica define science, which has to do with being really in tune with the natural world and also adept at communicating with ancestors. So Nanny of the Maroons, they elevate her as the great scientist, and we're thinking about ourselves as scientists in her tradition as well.
I'm interested now to hear you talk a little bit more about these Maroons in Jamaica and how and this the sciences in that sense.
Oh, absolutely. So Maroons in Jamaica are a group of people who, during the time of colonialism and enslavement, escaped from plantations and created their own free communities, and they also were actively freeing other folks. And just the fact that they existed as a free community was absolutely disruptive to the functioning of plantation slavery in Jamaica. And Nanny was one of the leaders. I mean, so Nanny is legendary in this sense as one of the leaders of the Maroons, and she was known for being able to actually invoke supernatural powers, or, you know, there would be like an act of weather or an act of a body of water that would disrupt the British soldiers that were always trying to capture the Maroons and kind of put down this freedom movement that she was part of. And she also was very central in their practice of communicating with ancestors. And so Maroons, to this day, folks who trace their heritage to those Maroon warriors, still continue to communicate with ancestors, still continue to practice and talk about science as something that's profoundly spiritual, and that really brings together the physical and the spiritual. And Nanny of the Maroons now has been elevated as a Jamaican national hero. Like, she's on the money. She's on, like, the $50 bill, or is this $20 bill, in Jamaica. And so it's very interesting, because there's some records of her, but the most, in my opinion, the most important place she lives is through the ongoing folklore stories and remembering of present-day Maroons.
Mm. Yeah, present-day Maroons. I hope to be one of these days and escape this this slave society we're in right now. So that sounds really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I really love the idea. I don't know why I got so excited about her being on the $20 bill, too. That just really is anti-capitalist as I am. So how do you, in this space that you're going to be creating, how do you plan to activate and channel and collectivize the dreams that are swirling around the people who dare to dream with you?
I think the people that will be attending will be bringing technologies of their own. We have a really, really, really big constellation of folks who are already dream workers and dream seekers and dream scientists, so I'm excited about that surprise element. We also plan on using art and experiments, invitations, meditations, communing with the land, because the land is on sacred Indigenous women's land, and Alexis has more detail on that, but where we're going to be, I think, will also tell us what will happen. And the dreams that we're having right now at night and during the day, because they're all integrated, are also going to be feeding the emergent, like what will be showing up in the space. Mm. So there's definitely various techniques to do this kind of thing, but I think collective dream invitations will be a big part of it when we're in this space together. I already started sending out dream journals to folks so that folks can record their dreams up until the retreat. And so it'll be interesting to see what collective dreams are already being braided as well. Mm-hmm.
What kind of practices now in kind of gathering your own dreams? Like, are there, I know that some of the exercises that I hear to do are to call out specifically things that you want messages on for, messages to come to you in that dream state that you're about to enter and things like that. So what kind of practices might you be cultivating kind of now and have been, I guess, cultivating?
Yeah, I think we both have really been paying attention to our dreams and communicating, really opening ourselves up to our dream lives as an important part of our spiritual practice. And so one of the reasons that Alma has sent the dream journals out to the folks who are participating in the retreat is that I know for myself that I've found that keeping a dream journal next to my bed when I'm sleeping and first thing in the morning writing down what I can remember from my dreams has been really helpful in just building my dream memory. So I think of it as a practice, you know, of like, okay, I'm training myself to remember my dreams better, but I also think of it as an offering. Like, I'm letting my dream life know that there's space.
And that you value that space. You know, like, wow.
Exactly. That there's value in these dreams because I'm creating this place to reflect on them more and prioritizing that during the day. So that's definitely an important practice. And I know for myself, I've been working with my dreams through poems, and so I'm not right now in the practice of before I go to sleep saying, okay, I want to, you know, see this person in my dream, or I want to get some clarity on this issue in my dream. It's been more that I trust my dream. And so when I wake up in the morning, I know that these things that I'm thinking about, whether it's struggles that I'm having or it's insights that I want to have, I know that there are messages in the images that came through my dreams that can help me with that.
I know that the land that we inhabit, like when I go to different spaces, I do have my dreams definitely shift with those spaces. And so as Alma was talking about the land, I'm curious about what has happened. What is the history of the land that you will actually be on?
Yes. So I don't know the whole history of the land that we'll be on, but the actual retreat site is called Alma de Mujer, and it was founded by an artist, queer woman of color artist. I think about 15 years ago, but I don't know exactly the date of the founding. And it since has been, she has passed away, and it since has been transferred to the Indigenous Women's Network. But it's a space where there have been, you know, gatherings of the Indigenous grandmothers. There's been many different retreats. It's been a creative, spiritual space of, you know, medicinal healing garden. And the intention of the space has been to really celebrate the feminine and especially the some rootedness, like rootedness of a decolonizing feminine of color energy with the earth. And so, of course, you know, the first time I heard that such a space existed, I was like, word, you know, like that is just incredibly attractive. And the women who I first heard about it for, we went there that day, and it was very clear to me. I was like, oh, this is a place where more becomes possible just because of the energy that has been put here and the energy that this artist first intuited was present in the space to even, you know, attract her to the space. So I'm very excited about that. And I think that you are right. You know, where we are has an impact on our dreams. And I've had experiences before. I facilitated a Juneteenth Freedom Academy on facilitation, so four facilitators. And we did some collective dream work during that retreat. And it was very interesting how just after being in conversation for a day or so, our dreams, there were answers to each other's challenges and issues in our dreams.
Yeah,
having a dream, and it would be like, oh, this dream really has the answer to the problem that the other person was talking about during the workshop. And that was really interesting to see, too, how almost immediately our dreams became collectively accountable to this community that we had created.
Land is really important. I had an experience some years ago when I was paying attention to my dreams before I visited this site in California. And I dreamed about an owl. It was a very powerful dream, one of the most powerful dreams I've ever had. And the owl was basically sharing with me that life is eternal and that death was nothing to fear. And when I got to this spot in California near Big Sur, I was told by the workshop leader that many people dream of owls before they come to the space. And I didn't even know that. My daytime self didn't know that. While I was there, I also created a dream altar as an offering to the spirits of the land and to signal that I was available. And I also got some amazing visitations in my dreams. And so I think that's another technology, is dream altars, in order to collectivize and to also just deepen one's dream practice. As a thank you, as a vehicle for gratitude, and also just keeping the portals open.
Wow, yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just saying the portals open between, you know, this dimension we walk through and other dimensions that we also walk through, fly through, swim through. We do a lot of things in our dreams. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think of altar as being an address for this world, mm-hmm. a certain address you have that speaks to other locations, other dimensions that you have. They're connected. There's a bridge between them. So.
Mm. I'd never heard of altar spoken in that specific way, and I think that that is such a powerful way to think about them. And I really love the idea, and not the idea, but the culmination of all this power that's going to come together. How powerful it's going to be to have all these collective dreamers dreaming in this space. All right, let's see. I have some questions written down, so let me go back to my written down questions. So how many people are going to be participating in the retreat? Or how much space is there for folks?
There's going to be 26 people participating. There's literally 26 beds at the retreat center, so it is full. And it was really amazing for us to see when we put the call out how great of a response there was, and how quickly and urgently and passionately people prioritized that they wanted to participate in this retreat. And so we're really excited about that. And as Alma was saying, the people who gravitated towards it are people who have been having a powerful relationship with their dream life and have very powerful intentions around their dreams already. And so it feels to me like that experience is like, okay, we just happen to be the ones that said, hey, let's come together. But it mm-hmm. came at this time where, just like us, other people have been working with their dreams and valuing and prioritizing their dreams already.
Right. The call came through you, and that's mm-hmm. wonderful. And it sounds like you're, I don't know Alma very well, but I'm sure she's connected with you, and you always surround yourself with the best energy. So very powerful channels to come through, I'm sure. Is this something that's going to continue, you think, every summer or quarterly, or how might this work after this first go-round?
That's a great question. The intention that we have explicitly set is that we do want this to be an opening. And so we are excited about the possibility of an ongoing connection between people of color and our dreams, and ways that we can support each other in our ongoing dream practices, the people who are at the retreat, but also more broadly, you know, the communities that we love, to create a network of support for the dream practices and the collective value of our dreams for people of color. So we want that to be ongoing. We don't have a specific plan of like having gatherings every some amount of time or, on some kind of regular basis, but we're also understanding that the knowledge and intentions and visions that will come from the people who participate could shape something amazing. And so we don't know necessarily if that's going to be that digitally people will be just connecting on their dreams and that will be a network that expands, or if it will be something where regionally people have meetings, or a certain phase of the moon people are doing. We don't have that specifically mapped out, because we want that to be more collectively dreamed, you know, with these folks who have so much insight and desire around it. But we certainly see it as not an endpoint. We see it as an opening for more support, more connection of people of color around our dreams.
Mm. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. I hope I get to participate at this at some point in some way. So one thing that I was thinking about as I was looking over some stuff last night was how might being on the dominated end of the spectrum of colonization affect someone's dreams and dreaming? You know, I'm not necessarily like your expert. Tell me about how someone's brain and all this, but just you know, that's kind of a speculative question. You know, I was just thinking that. How might that really?
Well, I think I love that question. I mean, I think that, well, not to say that we are experts or that we're not experts, mm-hmm. but I do think that and not to overstep my speaking for both of us, but I do think, or even all three of us, I do think that we do have some experience with being on the dominated end of colonization and also being accessing some of the privileges of empire through whatever documented status we have in the United States. So I love that question. I think that's really interesting. And it makes me think of Sylvia Winter, who, when she writes about how to be concise about Sylvia Winter. So she's this brilliant Jamaican theorist who talks about being human as a praxis. And her whole body of work is really about how can human beings relate to each other and relate to our environment in a way that's not overdetermined by colonization and capitalism. And so everyone should check out her work, Sylvia Winter. But she talks about how the genocidal impact of colonization has put our dreams on reservations, right? So like indigenous people have been forcibly pushed onto reservations and land has been stolen. And she's acknowledging that, but she's saying there's actually also a cognitive impact that our dreams have been profoundly marginalized. And so to the extent that we participate, to the extent that we are the colonized, our realities are pushed out of the general consciousness and are marginalized in a particular way. And to the extent that we participate in the model of being human that that the Western dominators have offered, and we do to a certain extent, we are forced to participate that to a certain extent. To the extent that we participate in that, our own potentiality and our dreams and our resources for being connected with the environment and each other are locked down and pushed aside and uprooted, displaced. Like everything, all the violent words that we use in the language of the colonizer to describe the experience of colonization. And so we've been talking about this recently, yesterday, day before. We've been talking about this all the time. That for us has to do with the urgency of why our dreams, the dreams of people of color, and us connecting intentionally around the power of those dreams is so revolutionary and is so important, because that is the space. Sylvia Winter talks about it as the abyss, but that we're talking about it as this dark science space. That is the dark space where the knowledge and possibilities and strategies and knowing that we have for how to relate to the world and each other in a completely different way beyond the capitalist colonialist ways that we've internalized and are reproducing in our conscious mind. That's the place where we know how to relate in a different way. And that's the place where we have to draw from in order to actualize that in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the idea of this maroon space that you're creating as such a space of powerful resistance, and dreams being that being the tool as reclaiming connection to ancestor, reclaiming indigeneity and those practices that would have us living symbiotically with our spirit and our land and the other beings of the planet. So I'm just so excited about the work that y'all are going to be doing up there. And hopefully, you know, I'm going to try to tap in through my dreams too. I'm going to set some intention out there as well. So hopefully I'll be entering the dream space in some way or another.
Yes, you are explicitly invited. So,
okay, good.
So we want folks to mark on their calendar, especially people of color dreamers who may not be physically at the retreat, August 20th to 24th. Those nights, understand that we are holding dream space for a larger collectivity, and we invite you to think about that before you go to sleep or when you wake up, that you're dreaming in concert with us.
Yes. Get all that energy. Certainly you don't have to just be on that land to participate in that way. And I accept your invitation. So I'll be there in some way, shape, or form. So is there anything else that's coming up for Eternal Summer of the Black Feminist Mind, or the Revelry, or personally that you want to talk up?
Well, one other way, one thing I can say is that leading up to the Dream Retreat, I am sharing in video form a poetic dream memoir, and it consists, it's called After Brightest Star, and it consists of 35 love poems that I wrote for 35 days in a row last summer to Earthseed, which is a people of color land collective in Durham that I was part of founding. And this was a practice of every morning being like, okay, this is what I dreamt. What part of this is us? What insight does this have for us? And also the poems were guided by Earthseed verses from Octavia Butler. And so I'm just inviting people to check that out. It's alexispauline.com/afterbrighteststar. You can kind of see the videos as I post them. And then there's all these prompts and questions about our dreams in the multiple valences. And what are we learning from our longing, from our intentions, especially our engagement collectively organizing as people of color. So that's not necessarily something else that's going on, because I think it's very related, but it's another way for people to just be in this conversation about our dreams, specifically as a transformative resource for the world that we're creating together.
Ashe. And there's information about Dark Sciences, a People of Color Dream Retreat, also at alexispauline.com. So if you want to find out more information, please go to the site. And you can even, you know, support the retreat so that folks can get scholarships and all good things like that. Because this is definitely something to support. I wonder if I did. I'm like, I had been giving some money out, so I might need to go back myself and give some.
Yay.
Alma, is there anything that you want to leave us with? Anything that you want to push us towards or refer to?
Mm-hmm. Well, to just nod back to your previous question, I was thinking of something I heard Jewel Gomez say years ago, that when you're pushed to the margins, like, you know, it's an act of physics, right? You actually see more from the margins. Mm-hmm. And so one possibility is that you are more activated to be a visionary, to be on the receiving, the hardest hitted in of oppression. So I just wanted to leave with that, that the idea is that where we are wounded can be a place of flowering and transformation and so many other things too, not to romanticize it. But I'm just wanting to lift up the visionary and transformative power of our location.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ashe, thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. I think that that's about good. I actually am excited to play after this to make it kind of a Black Feminist Morning. I'm found a Audre Lorde reading Uses of the Erotic, so I'm going to play that and just put her over the airwaves. And yeah.
Yes. That's that dark science. That's exactly.
Exactly. You know, we get to reach into and into the past and bring her right here with us. And I love the idea of her amplified out live over the airs, talking about the erotic and the power in that. And I think dreams very much being part of that erotic.
Yes, for sure.
So I thank you so much for taking time and talking with us about this morning. And you're always welcome to come on. We always have such wonderful, interesting conversations. I really, really, really am excited about the work that you're doing. And I look forward to showing up in my dreams.
Wonderful.
See you there.
Yes, thank you so much. We love being able to be in conversation with you.
Yes, thank definitely. You. Okay. All right, we're going to take a short break. And then after, we have Audre Lorde coming up reading Uses of the Erotic. That was Dr. Alexis Pauline Gumbs and Alma Levon. Dark Sciences, a People of Color Dream Retreat. Go to alexispaulinegumbs.com and find out more information. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM.